and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Hey Cardinals fans, Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. No, it's still not baseball season, but we can start getting ready. If you haven't already, start spring training by downloading the Schnucks Rewards app. That way, when you're loading up on the brats, the burgers, and everything else you need for Cardinals games, you'll be earning points and money off at Schnucks. Think of all those savings over the course of the entire season, and make sure you shop at Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. It's almost here. Get ready at Schnucks.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
Sounds familiar.
To sunny sides.
I think I heard it on this station.
Can you hear a bit of pan?
Is that me singing?
And that
I think
happy
so.
Tune
I think it is. I'm pretty good.
You are.
Life can be so sweet.
Thanks, Limestone.
You're all welcome.
Sunny.
Then he turned his mic off and said, not.
Well, you know what? You're a troublemaker. People were right about you in the very beginning. Bully, troublemaker.
I'm just reporting the news.
Hang on a second.
This roll.
Go. It's gene creaming time.
Frost
oh wow! You know what? When I was in high school, that was a really common expression.
Really?
He creamed his jeans. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Guys would say, "Oh man, I saw her and I creamed my jeans." Why did we lose that? That's such a great expression. See, we did away with the good stuff and. Maybe it's our job to bring it back. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the February 19th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. The other players in the room are these guys. Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? Hopefully, you will have a better day today than you did on Monday.
Oh.
Yes. I can't believe it.
Paul.
I cannot believe
you pulled that off 2 days in a row.
Damn,
what's the matter with us? What's the matter with us?
Selfish. I was just thinking of something to
he's
say.
He's selfish. He's selfish. He won't let anybody.
No, he is selfish. No, you're right. Demi is selfish. He could have relinquished the trophy today to somebody else, but no. Oh no, he jumped right in. I think he used the same word he used yesterday, yeah. Monday.
Did I? Oh wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Well,
good
you know
for
what?
Me. All right. Well, you know what? I'm not allowed
good
to play.
You.
I'm not allowed to play then for the rest of the week. Now,
no, that's not how this works. No, you deserve to win. You beat us to the punch, and now it's over, and that's the end of it. So, so you win. We Dan Buff is in today in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about movies and TV shows and stuff. We're going to do the Burke segment, and then we have some time this hour. I think we could take some phone calls. And well, so let's just start with. Does anybody have anything to say? Apparently not.
Wow.
If you have to say, that means nothing. So we don't close the Burke segment because we're not going to open the Burke segment, which means the phone lines are open and you can call about anything you want to. I have a couple of little comments to make and then we'll take your calls. 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. And I like phone calls, and I'm mad at myself because we let a day go by like yesterday. Did I say day go? I think I did.
You did.
I was about to say that.
Wow.
And we didn't take any phone calls from anybody, but we're gonna do that today. The Jussie Smollett case is very interesting to me.
Oh man.
Because I'll tell you why. I wanted to go on today and say this is the kind of story that the media should never have covered until they had enough facts to give it credibility. And I changed my mind about that, and I'll tell you why. Had they not come out and said, it looks like Jesse Smollett was attacked, this is a hate crime, these Trump people are out of their minds, this is MAGA country. Had they not done that, let's say they had waited and found it was a hoax, I doubt seriously we would ever have known what this moron did. I don't think they would have come in after the fact and said, well, this guy claimed he was attacked and we found that he wasn't. It wouldn't have been a story. So by putting it out there, even though they did it in the wrong way, because they did it, in other words, when they reported it over the mainstream media, it was reported as fact that the way you heard it was that he was attacked. This is a hate crime. This is a homophobic and racist. And now to have to backpedal and reverse is fantastic to me. And when they make reference to Tawana Brawley, I don't think most people really remember what the Tawana Brawley thing was all about. Limey, do you?
I think I kind of remember, actually, because I was listening to Larry Connors way back when. Is that the girl that said she was attacked and I believe even kidnapped or something and put in like a trash bag?
That's exactly right. She said she was raped by four white men and smeared with their feces and left in a trash bag. So, when in fact it was all a hoax, but before it was determined it was a hoax, this country was bombarded with statements by people like Al Sharpton, who there is no bigger living, breathing piece of garbage to me than Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton is the biggest racist that ever lived. That's my personal opinion, okay? And Sharpton went on and actually, in essence, named names of people that he said he had facts to back. Here's a quote from Sharpton. We have the facts and the evidence that an assistant district attorney and a state trooper did this. There was a police officer who killed himself because he was implicated as one of the rapists of Tawana Brawley. He didn't do it, but he committed suicide just because once that's out there, his life is ruined. So it cost a life. And this chick, 15 years old at the time, 1987, even her boyfriend, her former boyfriend, said that she told him that she made the story up to avoid a beating from her mom's boyfriend because she'd gone missing for 4 days. She decided to kind of run off for 4 days, and she knew when she'd get home that she might be beaten by mom's boyfriend, so she made the story up. That's according to the boyfriend. The grand jury did a thorough investigation, and she said she was left out in the elements. Well, it was below freezing. There was they did a physical. There was nothing that indicated she'd been exposed to the elements. Not only that, they did testing on the fecal matter, and the feces was from her neighbor's dog. No. Now, this is despicable, and what this does is when people talk about racism, Jussie Smollett is a racist. He hates white people and he hates Trump. So he concocted this story to make it look like the Trump people would do something like this. I also believe that Jussie Smollett can't deal with the fact that 97% of the population didn't even know his name. Okay, I never heard of this guy. Now, I know that Empire is a pretty successful show, but to be a successful show or to be famous, you only need about 5% of the population. Joan Rivers nailed this years ago, and she was right. If 5% of the public, how many people are in this country? 330 million people. So if, run the numbers, somebody, what is 5% of 330 million? It's about 15 million people. So if 15 million people follow you, if you had 15 million Twitter followers or something, holy cow. I mean, you're famous. And if a show has that many people watching, it's a big hit. Yet 95% of the people, it means that they don't know who you are. And I think this guy did this for a couple of reasons. I think he did it because he wants the world to hate white people and to hate Trump supporters, and he did it because he wants everybody to know who he is. Well, we know who you are now. You're a fraud, and you're a perpetrator of a hoax. You should go to jail, which he won't. I don't believe for a second that he'll do a day in jail. Tawana Brawley was ordered to pay something like $190,000. Now, you got to remember, this is years ago. It's what, 87 would be, what, 28 years ago or something? Is that right? 22 years ago. Yeah, I think 32 years ago. Well, we need to go back to school. So she was ordered to pay all this money, yet she's paid something like 3% of it back, which is another thing I don't understand. When the court orders you, because of all of the trouble you've caused, and the guy killed himself, and all the money that was spent, and they order you to pay, and you don't pay, it seems like nothing happens. Like, you don't go to jail if you don't pay. You just don't pay. So, I don't know where she is or what she's doing. She's still around. At one time, she was a nurse in Virginia. I don't know where she lives now, but this woman should be in prison. And Smollett. Now, I'm going to say one other thing about this Jussie Smollett case. There's a tiny, tiny chance that he's telling the truth. And I'll tell you why I think that. And again, it's a very, like, 2% chance. But I'm trying to leave all the options open here. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, is there any chance that Smollett's telling the truth? Here's how he could be telling the truth. Yes, it turns out he did know the guys that attacked him. But what if they attacked him out of jealousy? Even though one was his personal trainer, he'd worked with them, that doesn't mean necessarily that they wouldn't attack him. They could attack him out of jealousy. Maybe they had a falling out, and they thought, well, we'll get him. And did this. I don't believe that happened, but I'm trying my best at this age to start to learn to be open-minded. Go, well, you know, until we know everything, let's think of all the other possibilities. That is a possibility that they did it, and then he found out after the fact, oh my goodness, the guys that attacked me, I actually know these guys. But there are too many things that point to. Now the latest is there's somebody's come forward and said they saw him all together on an elevator after the attack in that building he lives in.
After the attack?
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
The night of the attack. Yeah. Okay, it might not have been that, but it was the night of the attack. They're all on the elevator together, and that guy's going to speak to the police, I believe, tomorrow.
Well, the biggest farce of this whole thing is if he's lying. The biggest farce of the whole thing is that when police first made contact with him, when he called 911, he still had a rope around his neck that he said the brothers put on his head.
The noose.
Right. Yeah. Now that's overkill. If you're gonna concoct a story, you're almost overdoing it by leaving the rope around your neck so that when they get there, you go, see, there's a rope around my neck. You wouldn't do that. It doesn't make sense. The other thing that now makes sense is he refused to turn over his phone. Well, why do you think that was? Initially, I thought it was because he didn't want to implicate his gay lovers who would be found. In other words, his phone would reveal maybe some prominent people who he had gay relationships with. No, I believe it's because they would have found that on that phone were texts and conversations or evidence of conversations with these two guys to set this thing up.
Well, that's the big thing right now. Like, the rumor is that apparently there is footage on his phone of them, like, practicing this whole thing.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, he didn't want to have it over.
Can you explain to me why this is a hate crime if the guys that attacked him were black?
Well, that's another problem. That's another problem he has, because one of the things I read was in his initial report to the police, he said it was two white guys. Well, there were no white guys in the area that night. And the other thing was that his buddies, or these two other guys, said that when they rehearsed it, Smollett took them to this street and pointed to a camera and said, that's the camera that we'll have capture all this, so we'll do it right here. The problem was he didn't notice the camera had been turned pointing to another direction. It wasn't capturing the area he thought it captured, so it didn't even pick it up. Everything about it reeks of, this guy is a pathetic, racist liar. And what's interesting to me is, in our society today, you're almost not supposed to call black people racist, because racism, if I say the word racist, most everybody automatically thinks white person hating a black person. That's what they think.
They don't ever think of it in reverse. It exists the other way. Racism goes both ways. There are black people who hate white people, maybe for good reason. That's not for me to say. Depends on who the person is. But this is a very interesting case to me, and it caused me to go back. Now, the next thing I want to do is go and read everything I can about that LaCrosse case where people's lives were destroyed when those young men were accused of raping that girl, and then it was determined, didn't happen. Made it up. So this is something we all should pay attention to. And the lesson, what we take from this, and we won't. We'll go on and do what we've always done and believe everything we see on TMZ or the news. Oh my God, look at this. Look what happened. No, maybe it didn't happen. But what we should learn is let's just all shut up and wait until we have all the facts in. But that's not the way we're programmed. That's not the way the news is directed at us. You know, Sharpton, in the end of all this Tawana Brawley thing, was actually ordered to pay, I think it was something like $65,000 for the damage he'd done. He didn't even have to pay it. Sharpton's supporters, it's kind of like before there was GoFundMe, all these Sharpton lovers donated the money, gave the money to bail him out and pay the money for. I think today Al Sharpton owes the IRS something like $4 million. Is he in jail? No. He's not in jail. Because he's Al Sharpton. And you got to walk on eggshells with Al Sharpton. So let's just, folks, pay attention, do your homework, go back and look at these other cases, and let's try to not have history repeat itself. But you can't control history repeating itself when somebody like this, and I maintain part of it, too, is that it's got to be frustrating for an actor who's on a hit TV show to have most of the world have no idea who he is. Because I think to actors and showbiz people and people who are famous and always wanted to be famous, it's very important that people know who you are. Jussie Smollett, I never heard that name in my life until this happened, and neither did 95% of this country. And that I think that bugged him. But I watch TV shows all the time. We all do. Maybe a show you watch regularly. I can't tell you the names of the people except for the star of the whole cast. I don't know who those other people are. But without them, it wouldn't be the hit that it is. And yeah, their payback and payment is in the paychecks that they get. This guy should thank his lucky stars he's even on that show. Let's see if he's still on that show. My guess is no way. There's no way. So he's lost his job, probably. Should go to prison, probably won't. And he's humiliated himself, and he's a disgrace and an embarrassment. So there you go, Jussie. You got what you wanted, but you only got one thing you wanted, and that's for everybody to know your name. Now they do. Not in a good way. So there you go. It's very interesting to me. I just lost my page where I chat with Dan, too. Hang on, I got to try to get that back. So would nobody like, has anything for the Burke set, huh?
No, would you like to speak to George?
Yeah, let me see if I can get my page back up.
Yeah, George, George Ron on. Mm-hmm.
While I recover my my sheet. Are they on the screen, Dan?
Yeah.
I got to reboot this thing. George, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
How you doing there, buddy, man? Tom, give me the phone. Give me the phone. How are you doing, Frank?
Doing great, George. How are you?
Hey, just... I'm doing well. I'm feeling better. Got my appetite back. I go tomorrow for my review on my MRI and scans and all that stuff. So pray for me, brother. I'm feeling better.
Good.
Thinking of you guys all the time. You guys keep me going. And but I just wanted to say thank you. And, you know, it's been a rough road, man, but I'm going to pull through it.
Well, we hope you do, George. We don't need to lose any listeners.
You got that? Yeah, and that guy that answered the phone there, that's my buddy Tom. He's in from Virginia, so hard. How you doing there, Frank? Yeah, buddy, man.
Oh, from all Virginia. Right. Hey.
Yeah, that's Tom Rouse there, Virginia, right there. When's in Virginia there, buddy?
All right, George. Thanks for checking in.
We'll see you.
All right, George. Let's go to Ron. Ron, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
AM in the PM.
There you go. That's how everybody should be.
Well, you know, Frank, listening to that, you talk about Smollett.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of afraid that that's actually going the opposite direction. That, you know, much like these other Nimrods, this guy's going to end up being the star of his own show and become some huge Hollywood, you know, gunslinger, popular guy.
I disagree.
The opposite way.
I disagree. I don't think so.
Well, I hope that I'm wrong, but, you know, with some of these other people like Jesse Jackson and Sharpton, you know, they're all wrong, but then with stuff they do, but then they become the popular people. Anyway, what I actually called for was just... Oh, damn, I did it.
You did.
I did. What I called for was just to say thank you for the recommendation. We took my father-in-law to see that World War I movie the other day on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
That was one of the best things we've ever seen.
Well, when Mike Evans said... It's the best movie I've ever seen in my life. I thought, well, that's a huge statement, so this better be good. I don't know that it's the best thing. I don't know it's the best thing I've seen in my life, but I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen anything like it. It's so completely different from anything you've ever seen. I'm sure your dad really liked it.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest things we've ever seen.
So, and for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, it's called They Shall Not Grow Old is the name of the movie about World War I, but it's so much more than just being about World War I. We talked about it earlier. They Shall Not Grow Old. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Loved it.
All right, Ron. Thank you. See, he thinks he's kind of in the club. Well, he is if he's AM and the PM. Look at this. Now we got Randy calling. Randy, welcome to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
Yes, Frank, AM and a PM.
Thank you.
I'm getting back to the Piranha story because I've tried to get in a couple times and haven't been able to get in. You know, just that was good for you guys. But anyway, we were flying with the guard, down in country of Guyana. And I didn't need to drink any Kool-Aid down there, by the way.
Yeah, well, now that's a reference to the Jim Jones suicide cult for people who don't know.
Country.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway,
it's random.
Again, I
did. Anyway,
they did twice.
They were they'd fly into a little river community, and we were helping the Air Force. They were building a school down there. And the river right there was loaded with piranha. And everybody, including the locals and even these Air Force guys, were swimming in the river and never got any problem with them. And then
when did we talk about this? I don't even remember this. Did you just listen to a podcast or something?
No, I listened live, and it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago.
It was. Are you talking about the piranha?
Yeah, piranhas. Yeah.
Frank, it was the story I told about going on family vacation, and there was a piranha in a glass fishbowl with a $20 bill under the rock, and if you stuck your hand in there to get the $20 bill with the piranha in there, you keep the 20.
Okay.
Anyway, the mayor.
Anyway.
That's three times, Randy.
Well, it'll just happen. The mayor of this little river community came up with his son, and they speak Queen's English down there, so they, you know, it was easy to talk with him. And he says, get a big piranha on a, you know, on a piece of string or something. And I said, what's that? He goes, lunch. And I said, that's a piranha, right? He goes, yeah. And I said, what does piranha taste like? And he kind of looked at me and thought a minute, and he goes, piranha.
Chicken?
I don't think they
it tastes like fish.
I've never heard it called piranha. I've always heard piranha. I've never heard anybody pronounce it piranha before. Is that the correct pronunciation?
No, I could be wrong. But you get the picture of what it was.
Okay.
I tried calling in a number of times and just couldn't get through, so I wanted to get back to that they people were not really bothered by him in the river.
Okay, well, that's good to know in case you ever encounter any. Thank you, Randy.
Okay, I'll see you guys. Take it easy.
Yeah. Anytime I've ever seen piranha in a school of them or anything, and somebody goes in, and this is the movies, though.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, it's just like, they're attacked, and all floating around his bones.
I saw a cool fishing video once. I think it was it was on an episode of River Monsters, and he was down in the Amazon.
Oh, I love River Monsters.
Love that show. He's down there looking for something, and he's going through this village, and they show them how they fish for piranha, and they got a goat's head or something like that. They just dumped it in the water, held it there for a couple of seconds, just lifted it off and shook off all the piranha into this basket, and then did it again. And he was lifting out dozens of them. Like, it was the weirdest thing. But they do, like, you know, if there's blood in the water, they go right to it.
Wow. And as far as eating, I mean, you can eat pretty much almost any fish, yeah. I think. I know there's some fish you have to cut out when you fillet them, or you have to cut out like a section that if you eat it, it's toxic or something. Poison. Mm-hmm. You have to know where that little section is. Other than that, I think you can eat pretty much any fish. Now, I'm going to say something about something that's very, very popular. And a lot of people like it. I don't like it. This song, Shallow, that everybody wants to sing now. Everybody wants to record it. It's a song that Gaga did in The Star Is Born. I don't like that song. I don't like it. I don't understand. I do understand it. It's popular because of the movie. If the song hadn't been in the movie, I don't know that the song would be that big a deal. You know the song? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Can you pull it up? Can you pull up Gaga singing? To me, it's like it's almost irritating. I don't get it. I guess I get it. I also don't even get why the movie's considered to be that great. I saw that movie. That movie's not nearly as good as Bohemian Rhapsody. Play a little bit of this Shallow.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more?
Yeah, they also make such a big deal out of how great a singer that, what's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he's not that great a singer. He's okay. He's not great. It's because he's good looking. They said, turn it up.
All the good times I find myself longing for change.
Man, you sing as well as this guy.
And in the bad times,
oh, well, and I got the looks, too.
Now, if that song had not been in that movie, I'm just telling you, it might not even have gotten any attention.
I think Gaga probably would have done it. Did she write this song? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Did anybody? Did anybody see this? I meant to mention this yesterday over the weekend. Did anybody else see? I think it was Sunday night that Elvis the 50th anniversary of his that Las Vegas show he did. It actually was 50th anniversary last year, but they recorded it and they played it this weekend. Did anybody watch
it? I missed it, and there were a lot of people that really, really liked it.
Well, let me tell you what I noticed. They had Priscilla and Lisa Marie and Riley Keough introduce three separate segments of the show. What in the world happened to Elvis's wife and daughter and granddaughter? They all looked like they were on drugs. They looked like Priscilla now looks like somebody from the Addams Family. She's just washed out. Pale, blank expression, over Botoxed. Priscilla Presley looks like a zombie. Lisa Marie looks like she didn't even know where she is. And this Riley Keough, they all looked like they were like strung out on something to me. I couldn't believe it. I could not even believe it. Elvis, right now, is like rolling over and doing somersaults in his grave. Because think about what happened. First of all, didn't Lisa Marie married Michael Jackson?
Yeah, she did.
At one point. What the heck?
Yeah.
And then this Riley Keough, hasn't she? Oh, who married Nick Cage?
That didn't was Lisa Marie.
Same gal.
Lisa Marie also married Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, she married
a bunch
of people.
I mean, they're nuts. They're nuts. They all went nuts. And then Riley Keough, I know, did some modeling and had a part in a movie that did pretty well. But other than that, I don't know anything about her. But it's just hard for me, somebody like me, who can't comprehend how much time has gone by, that Elvis Presley has a grown granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't even seem like that could
Well, what would Elvis be right now if he were alive? 85, 86, something like that? I think
our head of research will pull it up. When was he born?
Oh, wait, he died in 77. He was 42.
Well, it'd be easier to just go.
He was born in 35, so 65 and 19, he'd be 84.
84, yeah.
Whoa. Wouldn't that be great if he'd still been around and we could see what he's like at 84?
I think he is. Elvis Presley. Doesn't he live in Kansas City?
Oh, that's right. I forgot he's a friend of a dentist we interviewed.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Oh, man.
You remember that? We had that dentist. Didn't we have him on the air?
This guy
was a dentist
did.
In Kansas City, and he said Elvis was a patient of his.
Yeah.
And the guy, I mean, he sounded serious as a heart attack, but then you realize the whole thing was a spoof. But he was actually, I think his whole practice was destroyed because he did that. He ruined his whole dental practice because nobody wants to go have their teeth worked on by a nutcase. And, you know, he said he and Elvis had become friends, and then there was Gail Brewer Giorgio, who wrote the book Elvis is Alive, and in her book was a cassette. And it was a cassette, supposedly, of Elvis on the phone with her talking about how he staged his death. And I'm going to tell you something. The guy who did Elvis, it sounded exactly like Elvis was on the phone. Well, and then they revealed years later who he was.
He died 42 years ago, and he only lived to be age 42. So he would have been, he's been gone.
That doesn't deserve that. Oh. That's not shocking information.
Why, he died at 42. He's been dead for 42 years. You know.
Shocking. 84. He'd be 84. Now, let's see here. 314, if you want to jump in, if you don't, fine. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Now, the other thing I just want to touch on briefly, and Tim had the story yesterday and had an update on it today, and that's the guy who taped up the dog's legs and the dog's mouth and threw the dog out the window in a ditch from his car. I know that child abuse is far more serious and worse to me than animal abuse, but let me tell you something. I don't know what's going to happen to this guy, but I hope he gets put away for a while, because the guy that would do that to a little dog, tape its legs, take its mouth, throw it out the window in the ditch and leave it to die, is insane. And if you allow those people to remain in society, they're going to do something horrible to a person eventually, because that's, you know, that's the general pattern of these nuts. They start with animal. So, Tim, what's going to happen to this guy?
Well, I don't know. I know he's charged with felony armed criminal action and felony dog abuse. I don't really understand the armed criminal action charge unless there's something that hasn't been released yet. But, you know, the guy had to have been altered in some way, shape, or fashion when this happened, because he claims he'd never seen this dog before. He found the dog underneath his truck when he was working on it, when he was installing some stereo speakers, and he got paranoid and thought that the dog had a camera on it that was he thought the police were monitoring him by putting a camera on the dog's collar and then monitoring what he was doing. Well, either maybe he's involved in something that he's paranoid about, or who knows. I mean, it smells of drugs or something. But, you know, why if he thought that, he wouldn't just, and not to be crass, but why if he thought that, he wouldn't just shoot the dog instead of, you know, leaving evidence behind?
He'd be better off if he would. Where was this? Was this in St. Louis County?
Jefferson County.
Yeah. Okay, probably the same laws apply. I know that in St. Louis County, because I went through this with the dog. Here's why he should have just shot the dog and killed it. And that sounds horrible, but in St. Louis County, if you shoot a dog, it's a misdemeanor. If you torture the dog, it's a felony. And what I find wrong with that is, who's to say whether or not a dog was tortured when it was shot? Unless the dog died instantaneously, that's torture. And in the case of our dog was shot, and the guy was charged with a misdemeanor. And I was told by the St. Louis County defense attorney that that's all they could charge him with, because he shot and killed the dog. Now, what happened was, it was found out later that, because I had an autopsy done on the dog, our dog, the guy that killed our dog, and killed every dog on the street I live on, we found through the autopsy. I remember the woman who did the autopsy, when we went down to visit her after she did the autopsy, she said, "Did you ever tie your dog out in the yard with a hemp rope?" And you know the kind of rope I'm talking about, the kind that if it runs through your hands, your hands will bleed. Rough, old hemp rope. She said, "Did you ever use that rope?" I said, "I don't even own a rope like that." She said, "Well, there were multiple fragments of that rope inside your dog's mouth." She says, "And I can tell from the pattern that this guy roped your dog, in other words, just kind of lassoed the dog, and then tied the rope around the bottom jaw of the dog. In other words, if the dog's mouth is open, you rope the jaw, and held the dog down and shot it in the ear. That's torture to me. Yet he was charged with a misdemeanor and, of course, pled guilty and didn't do much jail time. But I found that very interesting that you can shoot a dog, you can blow a dog's head off, and it's a misdemeanor. So you won't go to jail. But if you torture it, felony.
I'm reading the probable cause statement in the complaint right now, which I've pulled up online, and they're charging him with armed criminal action because they said that he abused the dog with the assistance and aid of a dangerous instrument. I guess they're alleging that the duct tape and the electrical wire was a dangerous instrument that could have suffocated the dog or otherwise caused it some other type of pain.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of vague.
He threw the dog out of the car, right?
Well, in reading the probable cause statement, he did not throw the dog out of a moving car. He actually pulled over.
He's kind and gentle.
Well, they said he pulled over and threw the dog out the window. By the way, this dog was not a pit bull or some type of vicious dog or anything. This dog was a Dachshund.
Yeah.
The pictures that were a little misleading that they published online with the tape and the wire still around the dog because you couldn't really know how big the dog was from the photos, but apparently the dog was small enough that when he initially found it, he stuffed it into a bucket and put a lid on top of it and then decided to tape it, wrap it with wire, get in his car and throw it out the window.
Is the dog you mentioned the same as a Dachshund? You called it Dachshund? Is that a different dog?
I don't know. Dachshund? How do you pronounce that?
Mm-hmm.
Dachshund.
Yeah, Dachshund.
Oh. I thought.
Hold on. Is it Dachshund or Dachshund? I've never heard anything but Dachshund.
I think Dachshund is the English equivalent of it, whereas
I've heard both.
Why do you sound weird?
I don't know.
Sorry, you
sound like you're in a bucket.
You sound like you're something.
Frank, you're right.
There we go. There was a button hit.
According to Wikipedia, it is Dachshund. Dachshund.
Okay.
You're right.
Let's talk to Jim.
What?
Let's talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I am in the PM.
Thank you.
First time caller.
Oh, let's welcome Jim.
All right, welcome Jim.
Don't let it be the last.
It won't, Frank. Enjoy your show immensely. I think you have a really good group of people around you.
What?
Wow, thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
No, I didn't talk about Dan. I was talking about Tim.
Oh.
Tim and Limey.
Oh, you okay.
Because Tim and I are both from the South County area, so hello, Tim.
Gotcha.
Nice to talk with you.
Anyway, real quick, Frank, before Dan Buffa gets on there. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Before Tim gets on, or not Tim, before Dan gets on, Buffa, because you're always so busy and I don't have a chance to call then, I'm going to give you a couple of comments and wait for you to, I'll have to hang up and listen to them.
Okay.
As far as TV goes, is there nothing you hate more than reality shows?
I don't watch them. I don't watch them because I know they're not reality. I know a little bit more about how they're produced than most people, and they're not reality at all. They're scripted and they're directed.
I agree with you, and I'm going to give my comments and I'll hang up and listen to yours. Who in their right mind is that stupid to actually think the show The Bachelor or The Bachelorette are really reality shows? And the other thing too is this: if anybody there in the room, and I don't know if any of you have seen that show Survivor,
and I used to have, and I stopped. Yeah,
if you have seen it, how many times, like when one of the teams are battling and they're really behind, and Jeff Prost, the host, keeps opening his big fat mouth as you're trying to get things together and try to win this, that when you're done, wouldn't you like to just go over and just jack him one in the jaw? I'm going to hang up with your comments, and thanks for taking my call. And again, AM in the PM. Thanks, guys.
Right. Thank you, Jim.
Let me talk about The Bachelorette for a second, if I may.
Sure.
I know a minor league hockey player who went on that show one time. His name was Harold Hirsch. And this was in about the third season that the show was on. You know, and the premise of the show is one woman in a mansion, 25 guys, they all hit on her. She gives them roses at the end of the show. The ones that she's interested in dating, the ones that don't get a rose, they have to go home. Harold Hirsch steps out of the limousine on the first episode and gives her a hockey jersey with the word Bachelorette on the back of it. And Harold was a nice guy. He wasn't a very good player. He never played in the NHL, but he was a nice guy, and I knew him for about 3 years. And he went on the show, gives her a jersey. He was a real good-looking dude, though. I mean, he was a real chiseled. He was French-Canadian.
Easy, Tim.
I'm just saying, I know what a good-looking guy is, and I know what a bad-looking guy is. There's plenty of them on this show, trust me. And so he gave her the jersey, and she gave him the first impression rose. Like he was the guy that made the best first impression on the first episode of that season, the very next episode. He says, hey, can we go to a little room over here and have a talk? And she's like, yeah, I'd like that. And so they go in this room, and they each have a glass of wine in their hands, and they lay down on a bed, catty corner. I don't know what the other phrase is. Her head is by his feet. His head is by her feet. They're just kind of like laying on an elbow, and they're just like having a lay down conversation. Exactly. This is the first conversation, substantive conversation they've ever had, and he tells her to her face, the first time I saw you, I thought about what it would look like to have our baby in your belly. And I wondered what you would look like walking down the aisle, walking toward me with the wedding dress on. And she clearly had this look of, you have got to be kidding me. And she dumped him that night. And he didn't give him a rose that night. After he got the first impression, it was the first night. That's how bad he creeped her out. So when he came back to Kentucky, we all asked him, what were you doing? Was that scripted? What were you doing? He goes, no. He goes, I was just telling her what I thought she wanted to hear. And he said that it wasn't scripted at all. He said they never told him what to say or how to say it, that they just winged it. I think as episodes get along further, there is some scripted stuff where they have selective editing, but I don't think on that show it's scripted per se.
Okay, here's the deal. Here's why it's not reality. Reality is not you being in a situation or me being in a situation where there's an entire crew, camera crew, script people standing around while you're trying to engage with another person. That's not reality. So you are going to act differently knowing you're on television, so right there, it's not reality. Now, maybe that show's not scripted, but I'm going to tell you something. Most of these other shows, I met the woman who has produced everything from American Pickers to a couple other, and she flat out told me, there's a formula for these things, and we have the formula. You're going to do this, you're going to go in, you're going to come here, and you're going to say that, and we're going to help you and prompt you and coach you. And that's the way most of them. There's not one single reality show that I watch. Now, I guess you could call America's Got Talent a reality show. I don't. I call it a talent show. It's like a variety show. That's not really a reality show to me. I don't watch one of those things. Not Survivor, not Bachelor, certainly not these Real Housewives thing. Holy mackerel. Did you ever try to watch one of those? I watched one for 10 minutes. I wanted to vomit. I've never seen anything so ridiculous as the Real Housewives of whatever town, Atlanta, Beverly Hills, or
Arnold,
whatever. So now, to Jim of Arnold. That's what they should do. That's what they should do. Real Housewives of Arnold, Missouri.
Yeah.
Now you got something. We'll take a little quick break here. But Jim, to answer your question, no. I don't watch any of them. And Tim may be right here. The Bachelor, Bachelorette thing may not be scripted, but it's also not reality. Reality isn't any of us going about our business with a whole crew of people 5 feet from us. That's not reality. Lights, camera, makeup, cut, action. That's not real life. I got a wonderful email this morning from a guy named Scott, and in his email, he's a proud new owner of a 2011 Chevy pickup truck that he bought pre-owned, obviously, from Johnny Lundoff. And in his email, he made reference to a joke, and it's been a while since I told it. So, Scott, today I'm going to do that joke just for you. Congratulations on the Chevy pickup truck. Enjoy it. And the point here is that to a lot of people, a pre-owned vehicle is their new vehicle. You know, look at Limey. Limey was driving this old Cobalt. Is that what it was? An old Cobalt?
Yeah, Chevy Cobalt, 2007.
So now he has a 2000, is it 16?
16.
Malibu. Yeah, which is practically brand new. It's got 14,000. That's two oil changes, for goodness sake. Three if you do it every 4,000 to 5,000 miles. So let's say even three oil changes. It's nothing. It's barely even broken in. That's his new car. I've bought pre-owned cars, gotten in them, and thought, I can't even tell anybody was ever in this thing. It's like brand new to me. He saved a lot of money. So the folks at Lundoff understand that to a lot of people, that pre-owned car is their new car. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's a big deal. And they know that. And they don't take it lightly. And they treat the pre-owned customer just like they treat a new car customer. So if you're in the market, you know what to do. if you're AM and the PM, you know exactly what to do to keep this show going and keep it on the air and make you happy, us happy, them happy at Johnny Londoff. And that is this. Include Johnny Londoff Chevrolet when you decide to go car shopping. I've never said don't go anywhere else. I've never said there's only one place to buy a car. That's ridiculous. I hear those commercials all the time, and I hear people do them, and I want to throw up. There's only one place to get a car. No, not a lot of places to get a car. You just have to decide how you want to be treated. Price is secondary because all of these people are competitive in price. Nobody's going to beat the price at Johnny Londoff. They're just not. They're not. So let's get that out of the way. Now, what is it that matters? Is it selection? Okay, they have selection. Is it the service department? What a tremendous service department they have. Is it how you're treated as a customer? Check, 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 check down the line. So all we ask is go by and visit Johnny Londoff before you make a decision. I don't care if it's the first place you visit or the third place you visit, the only place you visit, that's fine too. Just include Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. You know where they are? The Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County. And, of course, you can shop 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Time to get a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic is sponsored by Chili's. Earlier accident westbound 70 near Cave Springs. Westbound 70 ramp to Salisbury. Watch for a crash. It is not blocking the ramp. Eastbound 270 at Lindbergh. Accident on the right shoulder. A traffic incident northbound 21. North of Rock Creek. Chili's 3 for $10, now featuring their signature sirloin steak aged to perfection. That's a starter, entree, and drink for just $10. It's great for the whole family, but you already knew that. That parrot of the year mug didn't earn itself. Together we Chili's. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Hey, Cardinals fans, Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. No, it's still not baseball season, but we can start getting ready. If you haven't already, start spring training by downloading the Schnucks Rewards app. That way, when you're loading up on the brats, the burgers, and everything else you need for Cardinals games, you'll be earning points and money off at Schnucks. Think of all those savings over the course of the entire season, and make sure you shop at Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. It's almost here. Get ready at Schnucks.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Every night, I hope and pray. Dream lover. A dream lover will come my way.
A girl to hold in my heart. Good for you, Limey. You're not even old enough to be playing that music.
I like this song. It's pretty good, actually. No.
Surprised you know what it is. We're working our way toward the 4 o'clock hour after the news. Dan Buffa will come in. And last night, my wife and I started rewatching a series that we finished the first season of. And we're watching the first season all over again. It's that good. I'll tell you what it is in the 4 o'clock hour. The number one selling replacement window in the United States is Window World. You probably know that by now. I don't know how many windows there are on the market. I should probably try to research that a little bit and see just exactly how many windows, how many different brands there are. I would guess probably 40, 50 different brands of windows. And so to beat out all those other people and to be the number one seller in the country, and they did that at about the 11 or 12 year mark. They're only 16 years old. Only been around about 16 years, and they did that years ago. To do that, you got to do a couple of things. You have to have a tremendous product that's everything you say it is, and you have to have it be a great value, worth every dollar. That's what Window World is. You can go ahead and you can pay more and get no more window, or you can pay the Window World price and get all the window you need and get a great value. And that's one of the reasons they're number one. So, the time comes to replace windows, you know what to do. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com and check out this window that has not only the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, but a lifetime warranty. Window World. News is next, followed by Dan Buffa to talk about movies and TV shows. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump is calling fake news a New York Times report that says he asked former Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker if one of his allies could be put in charge of the investigation of former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. NBC Justice correspondent Pete Williams has more.
The Times story says that Jeffrey Berman, who had been the U.S. attorney appointed by President Trump, had recused himself.